Recording button is on. Are you good?
Ready to rock and roll.
Okay, let's play the music. What's up, Water Polo Fit Nation?
You almost forgot what the intro was, didn't you?
I did. It's been a little while. Maren here.
James here.
Welcome, James.
Mate, thank you for having me back. Feels like it's been a while.
Well, mate, I'm surprised we're still alive. I thought we were going to get cancelled yesterday.
Yeah, well, we've lost a distribution method. Or have we?
I think we're safe.
Yeah, we're okay.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Not quite a renowned news platform yet.
So, I actually wanted to talk to you about this because I'm a little bit confused.
Okay,
tell me. For listeners, national and international, yesterday, all of media and news Facebook pages got cancelled. Yep. There was a bit of drama this morning because there was not just news outlets, but like charities, fireys, bit of community stuff.
Services, yeah. Community, so health workers, yep.
Bit messy.
Yeah, a bit messy.
But from I guess you're Channel 7, a media guru on the show, your media expert on the show, media and marketing. What was it all about? Why did the Australian government get enough bit of a argy-bargy with Facebook and Google?
Well, long story short is Australian government is trying to protect Australian news and Australian media companies who spend a lot of money creating news, right? Yeah. So from a – and I guess the big thing is you got to separate your Google and the Facebook, right? The way that they treat media and other people's sources is slightly different, right? So with Google, what they do is they grab our content and they push that up to the top of the algorithm, and then they make money off ads
advertising
that are around that content, right? And yep. So when you think about all the big news services, that's what people go to Google for. They go on Google, what's the latest news?
Yep.
Then SMH, 7news.com.au comes up to the top.
Nice plug.
Google make money from that.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas with Facebook, a lot of the media companies use Facebook as a distribution method. Right? So they're actually profiting and benefiting off Facebook. So Facebook's like, well, you can't really treat us the same way. Now, what I have an issue with in the way that Facebook's gone about it,
yep.
Like they've come on as like big brother bully going, watch, we can do this. Look at our power. And I think that power's kind of scared a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, it all seems fair enough from Australian government's point of view and protecting, yeah, as you said, the media has been forking out of cash. And
it is, and it's disappointing that they can't have the discussion at the higher level without impacting individuals.
Yeah.
And look, Facebook's doing it in Australia, not because they give a shit about Australia. They yeah. care about what the precedents that it sets for Europe and America.
The and Facebook probably could have, like, not just switch off everyone. They could have filtered it or at least give people warnings. Or
yeah, but, like, Facebook has no presence in Australia.
Oh, okay.
In terms of all they've got here is a sales team. Like, the people that actually make decisions for Facebook, they have no idea what's happening in Australia.
Yeah, okay.
They're all international. Like, they're all based in – these decisions are being made over in the US. They're being made in Silicon Valley. And for them, it's just a game of chess.
So do you think the rest of the world is going to take Australian lead on this?
I think they'd be looking at it pretty closely.
Yeah.
And if you're the Australian government, you'd be looking to your big European bodies and the US and going, okay, well, look, let's work on this together and let's fight this on a plan that actually works globally rather than from an Australian perspective.
So I guess most importantly, is Water Polo Fit safe?
Look, I think we'll be okay.
Even though we've been... But an
important thing is that people should make sure they don't just follow us on Facebook. We've got a blog. Yeah. Follow us on the blog. Follow us.
We can't say Instagram.
Online.
Instagram is like Facebook.
It's
Facebook. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's owned by Facebook. We like Instagram.
Yeah, it's funny actually. I don't know. We do have a presence on Facebook, but sorry for all the listeners, but we probably don't pay Facebook that much attention. I feel everything happens on the gram.
Yeah, we tend to, I think, because personally we like looking and using Instagram rather than Facebook. Yeah. But I think Facebook, I still think it is a platform.
Yeah,
and sure. It is now, there's a reason why they're a $1 trillion company.
Mm.
They're involved in, they're entrenched in people's habits. And I think if one good thing can come from this, it's that it will change, hopefully Facebook keep it this way for long enough for people to change their attitudes and change their routines.
So we're safe.
That's I think we're safe.
Okay.
Think
even we're though safe. We yeah. probably are, we sort of let the truth get in the way, or we didn't let truth get in the way of a good story sometimes.
No, exactly. But the thing is, if people do stop using their phones at key times, it's actually really beneficial for what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a nice segue.
That was actually better than we planned.
Before we get into that, there is a big water polo tournament going on in Rotterdam.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Is Olympic qualifiers. I'm sure everyone that's listening to the pod is aware of it. There are a few spots up for grabs
have
for
you ever,
Olympics.
You ever been to the Netherlands?
No.
No, neither.
Yeah. I like to go.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Seems there's lots to see and do and eat and whatever. No, I like to go. Lots of tall people there, apparently.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, moving on. Three spots for grabs. And I think it's the final three spots, for Olympic tournament for men's side. Do you want to rip into that now or do you want to?
Let's do it.
Yeah, so do you have results?
We do have results.
Should we go day by day or just go on what we
thought? Let's just go to the big game. We don't need to go day by day. Yeah. I think let's just what were some of your highlights?
Well, I think I always thought the three that will go through will be Croatia, Montenegro and Greece.
Yep.
But day three, Russia sort of made a bit of presence by I guess you could say a bit of upset against Croatia.
Bit of an upset. That's a huge upset.
Yeah. So I guess that spoils the party a little bit. I haven't checked the day four. Is it day four or day five? What are we up to?
I think we're up to day five.
So what's shaping up for top four? I guess that's what matters.
Okay, so let's talk through quarterfinals. So quarterfinals, Montenegro versus Netherlands.
Are you watching? What page are you watching?
We're on page one, bottom of page five.
Sweet. I gotcha.
Then we've got Greece versus France.
France.
Georgia, Croatia, and Canada, Russia.
So you think Montenegro, Netherlands could be a game that potentially. I actually picked Netherlands as a bit of a dark horse, to be honest.
Home advantage, yep.
They seem to have the same group of guys for a long time. I've seen them play at World Uni Games and they were just big, solid dudes, fit. I picked them I think they knocked off Germany first game as well, so.
But you reckon they can beat Montenegro?
Look, I guess if you're betting
it's
a house.
Big ask.
Yeah. It's a two-horse game, and you never know. You know, Dutch might have, also Montenegro's might have gone a bit of a, bit of a walk about Red District, and they might have had some cookies.
I'm not saying it, not related to cookies and walking around, but interesting earlier in the tournament, the Turkish getting disqualified.
Yeah, so they got DQ'd for Rona, yeah?
Yeah, so was it like three or four of the squad got positive for the Rona?
Oh, we shouldn't be kissing each other. That's what I always said. Don't kiss on tour.
So, look.
Save it for training.
Turkish team, they're okay. They could have caused a few upsets in this tournament, but if they're not at the Olympics, no one's really surprised, right?
Yeah, totally.
What if it was the Croatians?
Yeah, it'd be huge.
Would they get disqualified?
Are you saying that Fina or Croatian, someone would step up and
it kind of sounds like I'm saying that, but look, like how big a difference would it be if it was the Croatians that got disqualified because four of them had their owner?
Well, it's still time, but yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird last 2 years, been so strange, and probably nothing would kind of surprise me. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if it happened,
yeah,
like seeing so much happen yeah, as I said, in the last 2 years, that I would not be shocked. I mean, it's for me, it's like if it did happen, I'll be. You'd be kind of happy for Australian team because it's, I guess, more chance, like, you know. But then you also don't want
to beat the best.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to, and you don't want to like go, oh, okay, even if Australia has to get a medal,
yeah,
you know, it'd be always, yeah, but.
Oh, I'd still take it.
No, I totally would, but like, but you know, right, still
there'd be,
I would
there'd be a question mark next to it. Yeah, there'd be exactly. The asterisk next to it.
Yeah, so in that way, like you prefer it to have the best teams there. So, look, I hope that nothing happens and the best teams qualify for Tokyo.
Right, so Montenegro, Netherlands, we're going Montenegro.
Yeah.
Yep. Greece, France.
Greece by one.
Mate, they've got a knack of it, don't they? It doesn't matter who they play against, they win by one.
Remember our juniors, 2001, mm-hmm. the great year, the great yep. vintage players. Greece won the yep. Worlds then. Yep. And
young Aphrodakis.
Were both of them there?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. The young one was the one that was a standout at the
time. Yeah. We got MVP, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
But they literally won every game by one.
By one goal.
Like,
they just did the bare minimum of what they needed.
Did you end up playing Greece at that tournament?
I don't think we did.
Tell you what, I was questioning for some birth certificates in the team.
Oh, there were some hairy blokes in that squad.
And I was like, how did these guys? I can't even grow a mo back then. These blokes have just got full beards. Anyway.
Move on. Greece by one against France. Georgia, Croatia.
Look, Georgia pushed someone. Oh, Greece. Did it Greece?
Yeah, Greece.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, a lot would have to. I mean, Croatia, drugs are legal in Netherlands at the moment, like any drug. They're the first country to kind of trial the whole legalizing drug. So, mm-hmm. Croatian team would have to probably right, have then. A big night.
Yep.
And they would all have to slip Pover and maybe if they play with left opposite hands, and then maybe Georgia. Right. Yeah. So, sorry for all the Georgian listeners. Actually, that's slack. I shouldn't say it's a two-horse game, but yeah, I think Croatia will win. And then Canada, Russia. Look, you have to obviously pick Russia, right? They're on high. But then again, yeah, like, it's Canada is, I think, one of those teams that can cause an upset against the big Euros. They've got an upset in them.
You look at some of the Canadian players that have come and played out here in Australia. There's been some phenomenal players. Totally. They've got a fair few. And they're a team that stayed together for a fair while now. So.
And we've seen it in... Yeah. Every sport, I'm sure every listener that's listening, you play those games when you got a team you should beat, but it's just awkward match for you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Croatia, Canada and Russia could be, Canadians might be the awkward match for Russia. So, yeah, okay. Well, it'll be exciting. So, tonight are the games, yeah? The quarters on tonight?
Yeah, so tomorrow morning. Probably about this time. We're recording Sydney Friday night.
Beautiful night so in Sydney at the moment.
Night out there tonight.
27, you reckon?
Yeah, about 27.
Yeah. Tell you what, a bit off topic, the weather reporting in Sydney.
Oh, mate, how bad? Like, there's meant to be storms all day.
You got one job.
Yep, that's it.
Like, yep. And at what point do you get, like, listen, boys, you've messed it up?
And you don't even really need to be close. You know, like, if it's going to rain, just go, oh, look, it might rain a little bit.
It's been opposite. Last week, they've been saying it's been going to be raining and it's been 27 and sunny. Tell you what. Good job. Weather reporter in Singapore. Oh, Darwin, actually. Darwin would be even better. Just it's gonna be 33 like, hot.
33 hot. What do you do today? Yeah. Yeah, do you reckon they just record the one for the year and like just do all of them on the one day and just wear different ties?
I mean, the bloke or a girl's got to show up every day and read exactly the same weather report. That'd be the best job.
Do you reckon they run the numbers? Like they actually get there and go get the meteorology report and just go... Yep.
And if there's 1 degree difference, I reckon they get excited.
Ooh, 34 and sunny.
Sweet. Well, that's that. Moving on.
All right. Mate, sleep.
Yeah, sleep.
Are we doing it right?
Sleep. Sleep is something that's been really, I guess, studied and talked about a lot in the last... I'll say 3 or 4 years. It's, you know, a lot more studies have come out, and I guess what it relates to, I mean, it relates to health, obviously, but what it relates to our listeners and our pod is how it relates to performance. So, essentially, there are a fair few studies that basically show that if your sleep is poor, your performance drops by, you know, up to 50%. And they've done studies on NBA teams. There was one particular study that did players in NBA. So they just looked at their stats. Mm-hmm. And the player with poor sleep, their stat looked like a college player. Like it just like cool. A, you know, and that particular player was an all-star player. Like it was that much of a difference.
That big a difference.
So I think in NBL, baseball pitchers, the power they lose for lack of sleep.
Yep.
And I mean, sleep at that level, especially American sports, is so huge. Obviously with NFL, different time zones.
Yep.
Well, when they used to travel. And even, sorry, like even in pre-corona, you know, like soccer teams traveling around Europe.
Yep.
I know that Western Force rugby union team, team that's based in Perth for overseas listeners, they are the professional team that travels the most, out of any other professional team in the world. Yet they, you know, they have like the worst record away, and I don't think they. I mean, obviously, they haven't won a comp, or they might have made it semis, but
yeah, they're also just a not very good team.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they did have like I think the first couple of years when they recruited all the, you know, half of Wallabies team and stuff. So like, look, there is that obviously. Yep. You got to, you know, but
their results don't reflect the ability of their team.
So anyway, sleep's important.
And I think we'll touch on a little bit later about some hints and tips about improving the way that when or if we do go back to travel, whether it's for work, whether it's for sport, whatever it is. I think you've got some hints and tips to share with us later. But when we're talking about sleep, not all sleep's the same, right?
Yeah, so I think we mentioned this before. Generally, they talk about sleep and awake state. So obviously, when you sleep, you're asleep. And
what's your awake state?
Awake state is when you are awake. Very scientific on this pod. We're gonna get cancelled by Facebook. Facebook's gonna be like, listen to these idiots.
I think there is no chance of us getting cancelled.
Sorry for everyone getting dumber. But yeah, I think we mentioned it before. Generally, they break up sleep in a light sleep. You got your REM sleep, which stands for rapid eye movement, and you got slow wave sleep, which is basically your deep sleep. So they all kind of serve its purpose. Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, look, and when you're talking about serving some purpose and what parts are the most beneficial, how do you get more out of your sleep?
They're all beneficial.
Yep.
So in really, and this is super simple, right? Like if a neuroscientist came on, he will just destroy it, right? But in simple terms, how I understand it and how I kind of keep it pretty simple and is that your REM sleep is essentially your memory and your head. So your brain recovers, that's always going to get priority. And then your deep sleep or slow wave sleep is your kind of body. That's where you produce 80% of your human growth hormone gets produced. And it's very important both are important, but for athletes, deep sleep is very important. So, because that's where your best recovery is. And I'll say one thing that, you know, it's so easy to, and we'll, you know, we talk on this pod, and last we spoke about prep, the hydration recovery. It's all important, but probably something that's most important and it's most effective over, you know, those blow up boots and vibration plates and massages is your sleep, and it's free.
Yep.
So that's where you're going to get the most recovery, the most performance, and yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, to think of it this way as well, if you don't sleep for something like 4 or 5 days, you can essentially die. So it's, you know, it's a big deal.
And what are we, how long are we aiming for sleep?
So, look, I think old school was like 8 hours. They talk about 8 hours, but the language has kind of changed and we just talk about more about quality rather than quantity. That said, in my experience, measuring my sleep and my clients, you need at least 7 hours to get good numbers. Yeah, there are people that can do, you know, 5 or 4 hours, but not many. So from my little pool of people and just, yeah, doing it myself, I think 7 hours minimum is, providing you're doing everything right as well, is probably what you're going to do best.
So say you're measuring your client's sleep. How are you doing that? Sitting in their window, creeping at the end of their bed? How are you measuring
this? Yes, I just lie in bed next to them and give them a little spoon and just nuzzle next to their ear and just...
I didn't think we were going to get worse, but we have.
Getting cancelled for shiz.
Tell me, how do you track it?
Look, I personally use Whoop Strap or Whoop Band 3.0. Just play footies with you, sorry. But there are different products on the market. Apple Watch you can use.
Fitbit. Garmin.
So the reason why I use, so the most accurate variables are Whoop and Apple Watch are probably the most, Oura Ring as well, sorry, I forgot Oura Ring, also very good.
That's when the NBA players wear.
Yeah. NBA and UFC partner up in Oura Ring as well. So that those three are the most accurate kind of devices to measure your sleep, and people like us, you know, universities have been using those for different studies. And yeah, as we said, like NBA, UFC, a lot of the top professional sports are using them as well. But all have their pros and cons. It comes down to personal preference. I like Whoop because I like how the app works. It's pretty light. It doesn't have display. And probably the most important thing is the battery life. So battery lasts up to 5 days and I don't have to take it off. I can just put battery on my hand. That's it. Apple Watch, I do own an Apple Watch. I was lucky enough to get one from Apple. But Apple is a beast. One thing I didn't like about Apple is just so heavy to sleep with. If you forget to switch off the settings, it can vibrate and you got to charge it every 12 hours. Oura Ring, I haven't used. However, a few of my colleagues and buddies have used Oura Ring. It is great. I don't like the ring. I don't like jewelry, so that's why I don't wear a ring. You do need to take it off to charge it. It is a bit of a pain in the ass as well to get an Oura Ring because you got to get like a fitting kit so you find the right size. That said, one thing that I wish Whoop had that Oura Ring does have is the body temperature. And I think we're going to talk about circadian rhythms, and that's where the body temperature comes in. Kind of, it's a bit of an important measurement.
I've heard you talk about scores, like you get your sleep score, you get your score, are you green, are you red, like what does that mean?
So Whoop's got like a algorithm and that's sort of work out your, they call it a recovery score. So basically they have it divided in a red, yellow, green. And in short, it basically means how well is your body equipped to take on stress that day. So if you are in green, it says that your body is recovering really well and you can put on a bit of stress in it. If you're in yellow, look, it's not ideal, but yeah, you can do a bit of work. And if you are in red, your body's not recovering that well, potentially don't put as much stress on it. Focus on recovery.
All right, so for athletes or even for parents or executives or whoever, so what do you do if you don't get a good score? What is that score? You're in the red. What does that mean? What do you do?
Yeah, so to get a red, so all of this stuff is pretty individual, right? We're all different circumstances, different environments and all the rest of it. But in general, I guess the question is, why did you get red? So things that will put you in red is overtraining, under recovering, drinking alcohol, not sleeping well, and being under emotional stress, poor diet, and being dehydrated as well. So those are kind of pretty general things that will put you in red. Did I say bad sleep?
Yep.
Yeah. So generally that's what's going to whack you in a red.
Okay. So if I'm a water polo athlete, generally work during the day, grab something to eat quickly, train in the afternoon, train at night. You might finish at training at 8:30, 9 o'clock. You have something to eat. It's by this stage, it might be 10, 10:30. Then you're like, okay, well, I'll try and get to bed now. You get to sleep. You're up at 4:30 again, ready for your next training session. You might do this over 4 or 5 days. I'm on red.
Yeah. So
what do I do?
There's a couple of things. So generally what we talk about, and I put like a post on my Instagram a couple of days ago, it's like to fix your sleep is you need to focus on what you do when you're awake. So if you're in red, in a perfect world, your coach be able to, depending on what session you're doing, you might be able to do more of a recovery session, get your hydration on. The things that's probably most important and probably the easiest fixes, if possible, they talk about light. So getting the morning sunrise light. They're kind of orangey, blue light is when we get it straight in our eyes, it basically sends a message to our brain to start producing cortisol, which is a stress hormone. So that kind of wakes you up. Now, that if you're producing too much of the hormone, it can also be negative. But for sake of this pod, let's just keep it relatively simple. So that does two things. Produces cortisol, so it wakes you up. Yep. Coffee wakes you up as well. So that's another way to do it as well. Waking up and seeing a bad text message on your phone, we can also produce cortisol. So all these things will kind of do it. But also what light does, and that's why light's important, it delays your melatonin production. So what it means is melatonin is your sleep hormone. So that's the one that gets you sleepy. It delays it from 12 to 14 hours. So what it basically means, you wake up, you're awake for a whole day, and then when it comes to bedtime, you're full asleep and you sleep the whole night, right?
Yep.
I'm not sure if that answers your question.
I guess I'm more thinking, okay, I wake up 4:30 in the morning, I'm a red, I'm about to go to N-Swiss training or Institute of Sport training. I say that because that's where I used to go. Do I turn up the coach at that time? It was Les or Dumper and go, hey, I'm a red.
Yeah, so again, it's a little bit tricky, but I guess in that case scenario, if you're waking up in red a few times in a row and you just can't get into a green recovery, a couple other tips. So still would do the light in the morning.
Yep.
So actually one tip of that is don't wear sunglasses in the morning because we want the light. But then at night we want to, and I think we mentioned this at pod, we actually want to decrease that light. There is also a few tips that getting that orangey light also in the sunset can help your sleep and recovery. I'm probably giving too many tips, but doing a bit of strength training at night can also help you with deep sleep as well. So some studies on that. But sorry, what I was going to say though is in that your case or that water polo case is consistency is probably the most important thing. So trying to go into bed in exactly the same time, especially if you're waking up in the same time. So what that will signal to your body is that, hey, this is my window of recovery. Focus on that. If that keeps changing all the time, well, your body is going to be changing all the time. And again, a tip is if you're an early riser for training, 4:30, which is not ideal. And I guess the point will be for coaches, maybe push that training to a bit later. But if to keep the same pattern on weekends, so you should keep your sleep consistency always the same so your body knows. Naps, and I think you're going to ask me a question about naps. Naps are probably also a good strategy then to add in your weekends or to kind of make up for the sleep.
Let's get on to naps now. What's a good nap?
Look, again, it's individual. they say 20 minutes is probably the best. If you go into more than 20 minutes, you might potentially kind of getting into that deep sleep, which basically means that you're going to wake up super groggy, which we all experience, super groggy and cranky. So 20 minutes generally is going to hit that REM sleep, and you, for most people, it's going to kind of recover most of it. So if you know, and again, like I'm sure everyone has experienced that when they have those long afternoon naps, they just wake up. And the danger is also if you have that nap too late and then you go into the deep sleep, then you might have struggled to sleep that night as well. So yeah. So pro naps, but maybe just keep it to 20 minutes.
Nice, 20-minute naps every day. I'm in.
Yeah, they're good.
Okay, so for athletes or executives that travel, you mentioned the Western Force before. What should people be doing? So if I've got to fly down to Melbourne, I've got a tough negotiation or something down there, what should I be doing to either optimise my performance for that meeting, or if we're playing the old SEALs down there, or if we're flying over to Perth for...
So if you're flying through different time zones, that's where you potentially will get experience the jet lag, and jet lag is horrible for you. Jet lag is basically shortens your life because it messes with your circadian rhythms. So if it's Sydney to Melbourne, which is the same time zone, you're basically just going to be dealing with travel fatigue. So it's a bit of a different conversation than jet lag. So let's start with locals, or one time zone, or same time zone, I should say. Just, you know, again, it depends on your flight. You want to do the same sort of, ideally get a light in the morning, keep your hydration up. And during, you know, I mean, look, the short flight shouldn't make too much difference on your body. But where I think teams get caught out, it's not the flight, 1 hour flight, it's an hour before you fly to meet as a team to check in. An hour flight, and then you got usually an hour, 2 hour muck around to get on the bus, get a check in a hotel, get some food. So it ends up being like a 5 hour exercise, which is again what I would put under travel fatigue, right? So in a perfect world, I wouldn't suggest you play on the same day you travel. Now,
if you just always manage to like lose the bus,
yeah,
always.
I remember, like, and I'm not sure if this is coincidence, but one of the world champs or junior world champs, we played Turkey, or we played someone. Yeah, it was Turkey.
In Turkey.
And our bus driver was nowhere to be seen. Like,
he knew.
I was like, what's doing? So travel fatigue, ideally you minimize that. So ideally you travel the night before or afternoon before. Jet lag, there's a couple of ways to deal with jet lag. One way is to set your watch on a time you're going to be playing. Yep. I know the NFL teams, the ones that travel from coast to coast, they actually used to schedule training at that time, at a game time, so they get used to doing it. And then... yeah, like if you can set your clock and really resist the urge to sleep when you want to sleep, that's probably the easiest and quickest way to do it. Now, some executives use supplements. One that's kind of popular for executive CEOs is melatonin that we spoke about. It seems a lot of neuroscientists don't recommend use melatonin as a supplement. Reason for that is you can get it off the shelf, different brands, and it's really hard to figure out how much melatonin it is in each thing, and also to figure out how much melatonin that your body actually needs. Also, when you start mucking around with anything to do with hormones, so whether it's melatonin or testosterone or whatever, well, it's going to affect the other hormones as well. So even though it seems innocent enough, just melatonin to help you sleep, it can muck around with your other hormones, which is probably not ideal. Now, if you do it one now and then, once in a blue moon, and it's important game, grand final, then so be it. But you don't want to do it on a regular basis. And I think, I mean, I had clients that kind of got addicted to it because they just couldn't sleep without it. And I'm not sure if this is true. I'll need to kind of pull up the studies, which I haven't, but this podcast doesn't fact check anyway. But apparently, if you do abuse melatonin, your body can't stop producing it naturally. So you're kind of stuck with it. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but it sounds pretty true.
Cool.
Yeah.
Can we go back to managers and buses?
Yeah, go.
How good are tour buses?
Ah, the best. You see some of the buses that are obviously pros now, like with TVs and...
Yeah, like they're all great, but there's nothing like a Key Carnival, right? Mm. It just says fun, you know? What are some of your best memories of being on a tour bus?
My best memory, and I wonder if you're going to have the same one, was early days in Balmain where we used to spin the... It was just so mature. Now when I think about it, it was like such a dumb thing and so mature. But it was seemed like it was the funniest thing ever. When we used to spin the water from window wipers, instead of spraying on the window, we used to spin it around so it sprays on people.
The best. And they always look up. They don't know where the water's coming from.
But like if that happened to you, you'd be
so annoying. It'd be so annoying. Imagine like you got your suit on, you got the bag of fruit on, about to go to work, nice press shirt, and some idiots drive past bus
and Kia with like laughing their heads off, and you're like, I mean, now I look at it and go, what an idiot. But at the time, I remember thinking it was the funniest thing.
Do you remember one of our esteemed colleagues used to assume that because you're in a tour bus, because you're in a different state, you couldn't get parking tickets? So one trip, we were down, I think it was in Hobart. We got like 16 parking tickets. He was like, mate, it doesn't count.
Whose name was their car registered in? Manager or?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
I reckon you know the bloke too.
Yeah, I know the bloke.
Play with his left hand.
Rest in peace.
I got distracted by buses. Okay, so what sports do it well? Sleep, not bus driving.
Look, I don't know what teams are doing as such. The one that I do remember was actually Australian soccer team. Remember when they played in Middle East?
It was the World Cup qualifier, and they had to come back
and play one of the South American countries at home. And it was like, and they traveled through a whole lot of time zones. So I think they had a whole lot of stuff set up. So they did. Obviously, and I think they tried to change lightings on a plane. They did massages, and I think they tried to obviously sleep and get in a rhythm straight away. I have heard I'm talking about NBA and baseball teams, and obviously teams that have money. They talked about like potentially flying at different altitudes. That could make a bit of difference. Obviously, different lighting. Something that's kind of interesting, I find interesting as well. If you fly to space, they see a whole lot of sunrise and sunsets in 24 hours. Okay. So they use special light bulbs on or special light to kind of combat that. So I think there was talk about having those in planes, and there's actually talk about having those in your houses as well.
So if Elon Musk sponsors a water polo team, they should travel pretty well.
Mm. Well, that'd probably just be in electric cars, just flying in a super beast mode.
All right, I've got a few tips here that I want you to either say yes, no to, debunk, or say why they're a good or bad tip.
All right, go. So I don't have the
this
page.
Is tips. You do have it.
Yeah.
Tips to sleep better.
Okay, go.
Maren always gets upset because he thinks I don't give him the full notes. And sometimes I don't. When I want to ask you questions, I don't give you the full notes.
Yeah.
These ones he has. Tips to sleep better. Good sleep starts with your daytime behavior. Be active, drink water, avoid afternoon caffeine, don't eat close to your bedtime. I'm none from four there today.
So, partly true. Daytime behavior, yes. Hydration, yes. And what else? Just caffeine.
Yep.
Individual, but it's something you test. I know with Whoop, I tested it myself. If I drink coffee post 2 o'clock, I'm definitely messes up my sleep. Yep. I think you're like pretty good. Are you pretty caffeine tolerated?
Yeah, I can have a macchiato after dinner. I can still
sleep. So again, it's individual. Some people are really sensitive to caffeine. Some people have more in the morning and they're gone. So that's individual. Now, food one before bed. Again, individual. However, there's a nerve that's kind of popular at the moment, a health and wellness, a vagus nerve. Vagus nerve is, I think, one of the biggest nerves in our body, and it's more or less responsible for heart variability or like for functions in our body that we don't think about doing. So, e.g. heartbeat, blinking, breathing and stuff like that. There is a school of thought that, some people having carbohydrates before they go to bed, it activates the nerve or calms the nerve down and they sleep better. So again, you got to test that on yourself. So if you got a, I do love the technology and love the fact that I can look at the numbers and be legit, but you'll know if you had a good sleep or not. So carbs before the bed. Now, when I say carbs, I mean some of the things that, again, from my experience in my clients, sweet potato works well. If you are a low carb type of athlete, spoonful of good honey, which has got other benefits as well, can help some people sleep. But again, you got to test that yourself. Generally eating too close to your bedtime is not going to be ideal. So usually we say maybe 3 hours before bed is probably a good time to have your last meal, which could have carbohydrates in it.
Okay. Next one, lock in your pre-bed routine. So a bit of yoga, a bit of meditation, maybe some music, hot bath or shower because it facilitates your body temperature dropping. So wear socks to bed, blue light blocking glasses, and reading or journaling or listening to this podcast.
I reckon people will fall asleep listening to this pod.
That's the idea, yep.
Similar answer before, mostly true, depends on the individual. Let's go one at a time because I forgot.
Yeah, so basically just lock in a pre-bed routine.
Yeah, so pre-bed routine, that's right. So routine, so circadian rhythm is essentially our body clock, 24-hour body clock, that tells us when we go to bed, when we wake up, when we need to do a poo, when we do the wee. And what I find is interesting, how our body works that out is through our body temperature. So when our body temperature changes, it sends different signals to our body to switch on different things. Now, I can't remember off the top of my head if your temperature drops when you're in your deepest sleep or when you wake up. We got to double check those. And I lost my train of thought. So on that circadian rhythm, more consistent you keep it, it's easier for your body to figure out what the hell is going on. And going back to what you said about you getting up in the morning really early, as long as you go to bed at the same time and you wake up at the same time, your body can kind of work out how to tweak that clock, right? Or circadian rhythms. Those that have kids or for those that have nephews or, you know, seen parents, you know, it's funny, like if you treat yourself like a young newborn or a kid, it's kind of how you should treat yourself. And for those, again, that have kids would relate to this, it's like, you know, you generally try to feed your kid in the same time, you bath it, you read it a book, and then you let it go to sleep, right? We generally don't feed our kid in random times. We don't blast them with, you know, social media, TV, and then, you know, go in random times because it's just a nightmare. So you sort of pretend you're a bit of a kid and you want to get in a routine. Now, doing meditation, breath work is just going to be beneficial. Doing yoga, again, beneficial. I mentioned before, for some people, doing some not heavy resistance training, but some sort of strength training. Sorry, not doing like high intensity stuff that's going to put stress on your body and really wake you up, but doing like kind of heavier weights or medium weights can help people get into a deep sleep. So that could be an option as well. Was that it? Oh, well, reducing blue light. Yeah, we touched on that.
Blue light, that comes from the devices, that comes from screens, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so blue light comes from our screens. Look, there is some recent research to suggest that the blue light is not as evil as we made it out to be in wellness or fitness world. However, they believe what ruins our sleep is just being alert on watching a intense TV show or checking your email or, you know, seeing the thing. So
social media pages are designed to stimulate you. They're designed to get you excited. They're designed to want you to like, to want to get likes.
Totally. So that kind of stimulates you. Helps you. Interesting thing, though, actually, on light, you obviously want to minimize the light. If you had an option, and so when you, so I spoke about getting a light in the morning, right? Yep. If you got no option, so let's say you're in a rush and you can't get exposed to sunlight, you can actually blast yourself with normal light. So they talk about having the light above your head, the blue light can also produce cortisol and help you wake you up. However, at night, you don't have a light blasting above, sort of top down. So ideally at night you have like a lights from bottom up. Ideally it's red, so it's a red color, kill all the blue light as possible. And also ideally you don't get exposed to light between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. Ideally you want to be obviously asleep in that state, and you don't want to be exposed to the light because that can also just mess around with your circadian rhythms.
Last one on pre-bed routine, horizontal tango, good or bad for sleep?
I think, look, I wouldn't know. So if I'm being mature for 1 second, for guys, I think it's pretty good because we produce, and I forget the name of the hormone that we produce when we offload. Where for females, it wakes them up. So it's so I'm sure the guys that listen to this pod, they can, and girls that listen to this pod, you know, like the guys just want to go to sleep and girls just want to get chatty post tango. So, but look, if you can get it, just you know, what did I say? Every shot you don't take is one you miss or whatever. Wayne Gretzky, something. Was he talking about that or was he talking about hockey?
Don't know, but I'm getting into the next point.
Okay.
Create the perfect environment to sleep in. Tips I got here are get comfy.
Yeah.
Total darkness. Cool temperature. You should sleep in about 20 degrees.
Yep.
No noise.
Yeah, so bed hygiene is something that's really important. So your bedroom should be basically only there for sleep and obviously some maybe a bit of rumpy humpy. So things that are no-nos, definitely don't want to have TV. Ideally, you don't have your phone in your room, and you don't want to take your stress with you in your bedroom, your beer room. So you want to kill all the light. They do say even like a small LED light from like your phone charger or whatever can also, for some people, wake them up or kind of send that light messages to the brain. Temperature-wise, the 18 degrees is the ultimate temperature.
It's cold.
It is cold, but that seems to be according to book, actually, for those that want to read a good book about sleep. It's called Why We Sleep by Dr. Matthew Walker, for those nerds out there. Comes in audiobook as well. Audible should sponsor us. We do mention some books on here. Anyhow, 18 degrees. And then there is, again, individually. So some people having a cold shower before bed, so it drops their body temperature, it makes them sleep, so body wants to kind of heat up, can help them sleep. Why does a hot shower work? So hot spa works. So again, you got to play with that. I sort of experimented with it. For me, the cold showers do work, and cold rooms definitely works. This summer, I don't have aircon in my house, so this summer, like when it got humid and hot, I definitely, my Whoop data was all over the place. And just know, like you don't need Whoop to tell you that you're just not rested enough. So cooler the better. And I reckon most people can relate to that. In winter, you do sleep better as well.
It's also darker.
Darker as well, yeah. So
no noise.
Yeah, noise is a big one. That said, if you are struggling to sleep, I think Spotify and even like a lot, there's a lot of podcasts. The white noise can help some people sleep. It's in individual people as well. There are different. I think it's in audiobooks. I saw the other day on Audible. There was like a, it's a free book to help you sleep, and I think it's literally a bedtime story with like a soothing voice to get you to sleep.
Kind of like ours.
I hope so. I hope we have a nice voice.
Look, there was a bit of feedback from last episode about how nice Tony's voice is.
It does have a bit of a nice voice.
Yeah, there was a few comments on that.
From females or males?
A bit of both. It's good. A bit of both,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. Tony does have a beautiful voice.
Maintain your... I think you've already covered this one off, but maintaining your circadian rhythm with sleep consistency.
Yeah, so just basically... Circadian rhythms are pretty complex, but in simple terms, it's just your body clock. It's body figures it out by temperature. More consistent you are, it makes it easy for your body to set the clock. Hence why jet lag is bad, because it messes up with the clock in a really short time. Yeah.
Who's the bloke that you know that has the most consistent circadian rhythm?
Roger Federer.
Fair enough.
Apparently he, I'm not sure if he said this on this pod, but he was known to sleep like 11 hours a night. And
but the bloke's got two sets of twins.
Wait.
How does he?
Wait. And there was a patch when everyone was saying he's too old, he was injured, he wasn't playing well, and you know everyone's playing on age. But some smart physio tracked his sleep. Then he had twins, so his sleep got disrupted. And basically from 0 to 2 or twins age, when twins weren't sleeping as well, his performance went down. So he literally mapped his performance, twins age, and our twins that are 2+ in his sleep. And he's obviously, well, he's not an Australian Open, but he's still, what is he ranked? He's in top 5, yeah?
Yeah. And he hasn't played much at all over the last season. Yeah, so he's still one of the top players.
So yeah, so it's, it's interesting. And talk about sleep. Tom Brady, obviously, he was flavor of the month. Also, big one on sleep. Serena Williams, big on sleep. I mean, I feel like I probably mentioned this before. And when you think about Tom Brady's, Roger Federer's, Serena Williams, and probably more Kelly Slater's, Tony Hawk's, probably athletes that, in inverted commas, are too old to be competing at a high level. They don't talk about high intensity training. They don't talk about how much they deadlift. They don't talk about this amazing strength conditioning program. They talk about recovery, sleep, food. Like those are like, you know, and food and sleep is all in that recovery pyramid that we talk about in our pod. You reckon Roger listens to us?
I reckon he would. But basically, with like what you're saying with Roger is, so my twins turn 2 next week. So after that, my performance, because it's been pretty ordinary the last couple of years, is just going to improve.
I've seen your twins. I reckon you got one more year to go.
I'll take the excuse. What would you say to Roger if he's listening?
Hey, Roger, what's up? Hope your knee gets better. I'm sorry I couldn't see you in Melbourne, and I hope you get well. If you come to Sydney, if you want to come on a pod, give us a like or...
What would you want to chat to him about?
Rog?
Yeah, Rog.
He sliced one hand backhand. No, okay, honestly, I mean...
But is his one-handed backhand one of the nicest things poetry to watch?
Well, look, yeah, what's I mean, better? for me personally, to Rog, I would like to talk to him about his training. Yeah. I think they talked about an Australian Open the other day, how like you got... Roger Federer is late to, like, you don't want to warm up with Roger Federer because he's late to the warm up and he's like just so cruisy in his warm up compared to Nadal, who is like just, he's just like, it's, you don't want to even warm up with him because he's so intense.
He'd be
right
there 20 minutes early, right?
Yeah, and you've got to wait for it. So, you know, again, it's individual what works for them, but yeah, I like to talk to him about that. His strength conditioning, obviously, you know, all stuff. Like, I would like to, make sure it's true, like the sleep, the diet.
Well, You look at the way that he's played, and at the moment I'm sort of fixated on the growth and fixed mindsets, right? And I've talked about a little bit before and about how we've always said that you want to have a growth mindset and be keen for learning, but sometimes the big difference about wanting to have it and doing it. And yeah. I think you look at the way that he has played and his career, and at every point he's learnt to adapt and just be better. He used to have a great back of the court game, but he realised he had to have that better serve volley. So he changed coach. He's saying change different people and adapted and evolved his game. He's constantly learnt and constantly get better.
Well, it's interesting also. Remember he had a patch when he didn't have a coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'd like to know why he made the decision. Why did he change it? Or is there anything you want to just talk about growth mindset?
Talk about that, but like you said, just want to talk about what drives him, what motivates him. Like when we spoke to Gav, hearing what motivated him to go to four Olympics, like that's over sort of a 16, probably about a 20. I think we said he played in the national team for sort of 18 years. Like that's kind of the career that Roger's had. I think he's probably been a little bit longer than that. What keeps him motivated? What keeps him wanting to play and train and turn up?
Would you be disappointed if you didn't bring in a towel, like Australian Open towel, or
definitely,
yeah. He didn't think
he used to. Do you reckon he'd just try and burn us?
Like, be smarter.
Tries to be a little bit funny.
Nah, I think Roger. I think he's a nice dude. I think he curious. I think he will smoke us for sure. Yeah. But he's a king. I'll let him smoke us.
Yeah, he's all right. Last question. I think you have covered this one as well. Supplements.
Oh, subs.
You mentioned melatonin, but what else is now again? We just got to mention we're not health professionals, but
yeah, we're not health professionals. We are.
If just, people hadn't noticed,
yeah. But so the first thing that I say to everyone before, especially with the sleep, is like supplements should be your last resort.
Man, just got a message from it.
No, I'm just gonna. Date. Subs before go to bed. So I'll talk about some of the things from, and this is just my personal thing that I learned over the years that worked for me. I'm sure there's a lot more. Personally, and for some of my clients, collagen before bed and collagen in the form of chicken bone broth with lemon seems to get people to sleep. The magnesium is a big one. Now, magnesium's
good morning too, isn't it?
Yeah, so magnesium's good full stop. Now, one thing that I think some people might not know, there's different types of magnesium. So there's a cheap one.
You started talking about this with Tony last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I might have. Yeah. I can't remember.
I think it was after the pod, but yeah.
So magnesium, and Jimmy, you're going to have to put this in the show notes. So magnesium... threonate, threonate, and magnesium threonine, threanine. It's more expensive, it's more quality magnesium, but that should definitely help with recovery and especially deep sleep. The another thing is chamomile tea. Can help with the sleep, so having some chamomile tea. And then also epigenin, which is extract of chamomile tea, that can help as well. The only thing with the epigenin, which again, so this is the one, listeners, do not get this one before you do research, because I think it can stop estrogen. If you have too much of it, it can stop estrogen production. Estrogen is, unless you got man boobs and you're like a dude with massive man boobs and you produce heaps of estrogen, maybe you go ahead it. But most people, we do need estrogen. So maybe forget about the last one, just in case. Or if you get a man, well, no, actually, you won't get man boobs if you get a.
We don't edit this, do we?
I can't be stuff editing. It takes too long.
I think we can answer that one in the show notes, eh?
Yeah, so put it in there. Yeah. So, yeah, but magnesium is good anyway. Yeah. Magnesium is kind of hard to get out of food. So it's a good supplement to have. With Tony, we spoke about Endura, the company used to work with before. It does have magnesium, and I think it's one of those good magnesiums. It's actually a pretty underrated product. You can put it in the show notes as well. And what else did I say? So we talked collagen, magnesium, and chamomile tea does help with sleep. But again, leave supplements to last. You don't want to be like having 3 hour night sleep and then supplementing. Like it's not ideal.
You look after your day first.
Yeah.
I think that's all I got. Did you want to, have we got a listener offer for Whoopi?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to come across I'm selling it. I do have a affiliate link to it. I think we'll put it in a show notes. I'm pretty sure it works. You get $30 off. How Whoop works, it's a subscription model. So you pay monthly subscription. You can subscribe. So more you decide to subscribe in one go, cheaper it gets. I think it works. That'll be our $30 a month. With a code that I think I have, we got a $30. Yeah, you get $30 and we get $30. It kind of supports the pod a bit as well. And actually supporting my pod, Jimmy, if people do want to, because someone did ask me if anyone is actually sponsoring or if you're getting paid to do this. I'm not getting paid. Are you getting paid? Just checking.
Should we talk about this later?
You probably are getting paid. I'm like, but I think the best way to support us is, I was reading about this, is to give us a review. So 5 stars only. If you don't have 5 stars in you, I don't think it works. comments as well. So write a funny comment. And maybe just tell your buddies and share it, I guess. They'll support and help us out to grow it. And then hopefully one day get paid. And when we get paid, we can probably get better content.
Do you reckon then we'd get fact checked?
If you're getting money?
Yeah. Like if we do this properly, like in a proper studio, do you reckon that actually start
fact checking? Look, I would like to think that money would not change us, as in it would just make us better.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Okay, let's say we're getting paid.
Yeah.
I would want to, I'll get a researcher. I'll get someone to do it for us. So it's like edit, research, and then we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Easy.
What would you spend our money on?
Gifts for guests.
Oh, yeah. What would you get? What would you? Okay, so let's say next guest is, I don't know who, someone.
Start with a charcuterie board. Wait, we've lost it. If anyone wants to get in touch, go to james@waterpolofit.com. Show notes are going to be at waterpolo.fit. Any suggestions, any feedback, we're all ears. Maren, thanks for the show.
Welcome back, and looking forward to next time. Bye.